Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Boccia, holding things down on the board. And thank you to you for listening. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're at. But I appreciate you for being locked in, okay? The show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM, channel 375, and a smart speaker. You got one of those? Ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Okay, we've already talked about the Dodgers. They had their parade today. They had their, Boccia, what is it, a rally? A ceremony? What is it called?
I'd say it's like a prep rally, a pep rally.
Yeah, you had a little rally at Dodger Stadium. We heard from Otani. We heard from Yamamoto. Congratulations to the Dodgers. We talked about Jaden Daniels and that busted up arm. We heard from his head coach and Dan Quinn. He takes full responsibility for it. And we talked about two teams. Well, a couple of teams trying to compete for a championship. The Bills knocking off the Chiefs. The Eagles making some moves ahead of the trade deadline, which is going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And then we got more football tonight. In a little more than an hour, we're going to have the Dallas Cowboys against the Cardinals. Yeah, this is, Boccia, this game, it has to be better than the crap we got last night, right?
Well, if you look at Sam Darnold, that was pretty good, but everything else was bad. So, yeah, I'd assume it'd be better.
Yeah, no, who knows? I mean, we know the Cowboys put up points. I have no idea what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do. I do know someone who will not be watching the game. Marvin Harrison Sr. Yeah, the dad to Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's just say he's not a fan of the Cardinals offense. We'll get into that before the game gets started in an hour from now. Hey, we got Andrew Destin joining us in about 20 minutes. We just talked about Sam Darnold. And he looked good. 4 touchdown passes last night. Andrew Destin covers all things Washington sports. We're going to get his thoughts on the Seahawks. You know, are they legitimate contenders? Is he concerned about the defense? And so we got a lot to get into with Andrew in about 20 minutes. You can find me online. I exist everywhere at JR Sport Brief. And you can call as well. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. S-N. Yeah, we got football tonight, got the trade deadline tomorrow, and then the way things are going, I mean, the Eagles are already in action in a bye week. You got Howie Roseman, who's out here trying to fortify the defense, bringing in Jalen Phillips to try to help their rush, and you got Brandon Graham also coming back. They traded for Jaire Alexander. Hopefully he has some gas left in the tank and that he can stay healthy, but we got a lot of faces. And it's just a matter of who gets moved. You know, the NFL trade deadline, sometimes it comes and it goes, and you don't get a lot of action. It's not like the NBA trade deadline. It's not like the Major League Baseball trade deadline. But this year, it just feels that there's bound to be some movement ahead of the trade deadline. Like one dude I'm looking at right now, and what a horrific game this was yesterday. You know, I love a good train wreck. I think most people do. We saw what took place with the Bengals losing to the Bears 47-42. I mean, after the game, you got Chase Brown just ticked off that the defense can't get a stop. It was like, whoa, You got a guy on offense, or the running back is taking a shot at the defense? Okay, Caleb Williams ended up scoring he passed to Colston Loveland for the game-winning touchdown. And the Bengals, they scored 15 points late in the fourth to take a lead. And then the Bengals defense says, not so fast, and they just handed it over to the Chicago Bears. Listen to what Chase Brown had to say about the defense.
We just got to play complimentary football. Like, we put the ball in the end zone and go up a point at the end, finish the game. Like, just end it. Like, that's it. Like, that's what we need to do. Just end the game. Like, make them get us the ball back. Let us go to 22 victory and let's end the game. That's how I feel.
Oh, I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. We got an offense. This is great theater. You got one teammate taking a dump on his other teammates. Now, you know, they all hate each other. You don't think the guys on defense can't stand his ass for saying that? I mean, they were missing tackles all over the place. They should all be embarrassed. I mean, even their head coach, Zach Taylor, he's like, I don't know how we lost, but we did.
Yeah, just I can't believe it. Can't believe it. Things right there, and then we don't find a way to get it done and win a game. We just got to make one play, just one play. And some of these losses turned into wins. And so, again, we just got to, as coaches, we got to spend this week finding a way. To help everybody and get it done, because this is, it's sick. It's sick to lose like that. It's sick. That's what happened. So we got to own it, and we got to keep finding ways to improve and keep finding ways to find a win. Just these last 2 weeks, it hasn't happened.
Season done for the Bengals, all right? We knew it was basically done when Joe Burrow went down. There's so many thoughts about whether or not he'd make it back this season. Bring him back for what? They got 3 wins and 6 losses. Joe Burrow went down with that turf toe injury. He had to cut his foot open. And they've just been bad, man. Horrific. And now they're fighting each other? I love this stuff. I love it.
You love it until it's your team. But also, the Bengals have been a mess for more than just this season. I feel that every year there's been concerns with, I don't know, Joe Burrow's protection, his weapons, yeah. Contracts. It's just nothing ever is quiet in Cincy for more than, I'd say, 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Then you got to factor in Joe Burrow, all of his injuries. It's not looking good. This season looks cooked. And then speaking of the trade deadline, Trey Hendrickson, they basically gave him a bump in salary this year. He didn't get the long-term contract that he was looking for. Didn't expect that to be the case. And so there was always the thought that if they're not having success, they're going to move him. And one thing that they should absolutely do, they should move him because he's not getting a long-term deal. And so we're going to find out how stupid the Bengals are tomorrow as to whether or not they keep Trey Hendrickson or they move him. And let's be honest. I mean, how much leverage are the Bengals going to have in trying to move him for everything or anything? Everybody knows that he needs to get moved. And so I'd be very interested to see, you know, what the compensation ends up being. It'd be shocking. And maybe not so much because it is the Bengals. They have to move the guy. Okay, Trey Hendrickson actually spoke, and then he was asked if he'll still be in Cincinnati after tomorrow. And listen to what he said.
I stopped doing hopes and all that stuff a long time ago. It's you are where your feet are. And, you know, I'm incredibly blessed to be where I am right now. You know, this is the National Football League, you know, first or last, you know. There's a limited amount of spots here, and this is an incredible blessing, you know. Sick for the fans. I'm sick for the people that, you know, come and watch us, and it's tough games. But, again, like, moving forward, I think we'll make the corrections we need to and get back in the win column.
Have you gotten wind of any conversations the front office has had about potential trade talks? Have you been approached at all? Has that conversation come up?
I don't think I've caught wind of anything over the last 5 years, so I don't – I don't expect anything anymore. So again, be where your feet are. Incredibly blessed, thankful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be here. And again, another bit of adversity with this injury and overcoming that. Like I'd like to see my opponent that's hitting me. You know, that would be nice.
Botcher, they gotta move him, right? They have to. But it's the Bengals.
They 100% to move him, even if it's for, I would say, a fifth or sixth round pick.
Ooh.
Like, you're not gonna get Jalen Phillips on a 1 year rental. It's just not gonna happen. His cap hit, he's gonna test free agency. He said it before the season even started. So it's just salvage anything from this contract from the Bengals' point of view, and then Hendrickson, hey, you're getting out of a losing team. When you get healthy, you'll be able to step into most likely a playoff contender, give it one run, try to win a ring, and then you sign a contract whoever offers you anything.
Yeah, he's going to be a rental for the last 2 months of the season wherever he goes. So the Bengals are basically, they're basically screwed. I mean, I get it. You want to pacify Joe Burrow. Nobody can understand whether or not he's going to go down with an injury. Nobody can predict the future. They should have probably traded him prior to the season. That's what they probably should have done. And so now they're cooked. They've reached the worst-case scenario, and now they're in a position where they're going to get peanuts back for Trey Hendrickson. So we'll see what happens with him and with the Cincinnati Bengals tomorrow. He's not the only dude who might get moved. We've heard about the New York Jets. They have Breece Hall. Batra had mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs and needing a little bit more help in the backfield. Breece Hall is certainly one of the best dual threats in the NFL at the wide receiver position. The Saints, this is another team, going absolutely nowhere. Okay, do you want to move on from Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed? Do you want to move some of these wide receivers? I know you want to develop Shaq, but are you going to take away some of his best weapons so you can build for the future? There's been conversations about Jeffrey Simmons. The Titans are 1-8. They lost again yesterday. Is Jeffrey Simmons getting moved? It's kind of tough. And then we start rolling into some of the QBs. You know, here in Atlanta, we know that the Kirk Cousins is the most expensive backup ever. Where's he going? Probably nowhere. Falcons will probably pay him for the rest of the season. $23-25 million just to do nothing. And then we got Russell Wilson. We know Jackson Dart is the guy now and into the future for the New York Giants. Is Russell Wilson going to be moved? You know, we don't need to have Jameis Winston and Russell on the same team. And so there's a lot of dudes who may move. And then how about this one? I don't think it'll be the case. Yeah, what an ugly loss yesterday for the Raiders. They're over here losing on a 68-yard field goal. But is Max Crosby going to be gone? Reportedly, he's been told he ain't going anywhere. Let's take a listen. Max Crosby, I guess, telling all the fans, I love you, I love you, I love you, even if they trade me.
Being a fan, you know, growing up, like, it's all I care about. It's all my whole life. But watched every single game on Sundays and made my dad drive me to Buffalo Wild Wings every Sunday to watch the games and legitimately, like, screaming and forcing him to take me to go to watch the game. But, like, I know everybody takes, you know, everyone puts their time and effort to come and watch us play and spend their hard-earned money to get tickets to come and watch us play and take every Sunday to watch us, you know, perform them and falling short, you know, time and time again. It's just, you know, I feel for them. And, you know, it sucks because I'm just continuing giving everything I got until I can't anymore. And whatever that day is, we'll see. But, you know, I just feel for them.
Yeah, listen, he feels for the fans. He's not going anywhere. They just gave him a contract extension. I mean, that's the complete opposite than what we got with Trey Hendrickson, where, you know, the Bengals pretty much have to move him. Max Crosby, they just gave him a 3-year, $100-plus million contract. Who's just picking that up at the deadline? I don't see him moving. I don't see him going anywhere. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Gilberto, caller from San Diego. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show with Gilberto. What's up?
Hola, JR. ¿Cómo estás?
Así. ¿Y tú?
Excelente, JR, because my Dodgers, they went back-to-back. How about that?
Congrats. Did you go to the parade?
No, but I watched it on TV. That's a long ride, okay? And they closed all the freeways, so I enjoyed it at home.
Okay, I'm not mad at you. And so, obviously, you see this Dodgers team, they're going to win another one next year, right?
Well, they have a pretty good shot at it because the core of the players are there, and they have players that are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And you know, the funny thing about the whole thing about the free agents, the high payroll, and everything, the three key players to winning the Game 7, all of them are homegrown. And that's Miggy Rojas, Andy Pages, and Will Smith.
Yep.
All of them are homegrown. They made the key plays to win that fabulous World Series because that Game 7, it was amazing.
Yeah, that catch by Páez was amazing too. That was bananas. That was a great game to watch. Well, Gilberto, make sure you get yourself a championship hat and T-shirt, okay?
I will, Jerry, and I will send you a hat, okay? Oh, you remember that.
please do, Gilberto. And you know what? Pre-order me a World Series hat for next year, too, because the Dodgers are probably going to win it again, okay?
As soon as the back-to-back-to-back comes in, you have one.
It's looking like a three-peat. Hey, Gilberto, pleasure chatting with you, man. Thank you.
Gracias, JR. I keep having a great show.
Thank you so much. Hasta luego. And thank you, Gilberto, for calling from San Diego. 888-710-4ISN. Marty is here from Westchester in New York. We were going from coast to coast. Marty, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Yes, good evening, JR. Good to talk to you again. Yeah, you know, before the season started, I was looking at three teams that have been knocking on the door in the last 2 or 3 years, and I thought this was going to be a big year for both of them. You mentioned two of them. You mentioned the Bills and the Ravens, you know, looking for that elusive Super Bowl championship, getting over the hump, so to speak. And the third team that I'm referring to is the Detroit Lions in the NFC, and they're in a dogfight in the NFC North. So, I mean, we're in November. This is setting up to be a very interesting second half because it looks like it's really wide open. You know, I know the Eagles have made a big step today to improve their chances, but there's been so many upsets this year. It's really been quite a season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one hell of a season based on what we got. There's so many injuries, and then there's the parity. I think these next couple of months, it's like teams are either they're in or they're out, and that's a bad thing at this point of the season. So we'll see what happens. We still got a whole lot more football to play, Marty.
Right, that's true. And I still think Detroit's going to win the division in the NFC North. I'm not quite sold on Green Bay. You know, there's inconsistencies in their offensive unit.
They also got Kraft, who's out for the season now with that torn ACL. So they're missing. I know he plays the tight end, but he's been their best option.
That's a big loss, yeah.
Yeah, catching passes. So, yeah, not looking good for them right now. Hey, Marty, thank you for calling from Westchester.
Anytime, Jay. Always good talking to you.
Thank you so much. Shout-outs to Marty for calling from Westchester, New York. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast-to-coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Andrew Destin. He's from the Associated Press. He covers all things Washington sports. We're going to get his thoughts on whether or not the Seahawks are contenders, especially after watching what they did last night to the Commanders. We'll have that chat with Andrew on the other side of the break. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Last night, we saw Seattle. They took care of Washington 38-14. Sam Darnold perfect in the first half. The Seahawks, are they contenders? Are they pretenders? Darnold looks great. The defense is stopping to run. To talk about the Seahawks and what we can expect for the rest of the season, joining us right now is someone who covers all things Washington sports for the AP. Welcome to the show, Andrew Destin. Andrew, we appreciate the time, man.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it. It's good to be on the show. I'm a big fan as well, so happy to be on.
No, thank you so much. I mean, we saw a beatdown last night. You got Seattle now on a three-game losing streak, or excuse me, winning streak. They got a record of 6-2. How serious should we take them, in particular Sam Darnold, given how we saw him end last year?
I think this team is to be taken seriously, and I think it's less so about Sam as it is about the cast around him. I think you have to take into consideration just how good of a season Jaxon Smith-Njigba has been having. Actually, I'm writing about it right now. This is a guy who is on pace to shatter Calvin Johnson's single-season record for receiving yards in a season, right? Like, that's not to be taken lightly. This is evidence of just how good Smith-Njigba has been. And the defense has been excellent. I mean, as much credit as you want to give the offense, especially for how good Sam played yesterday, the front seven is excellent. The injury to Ernest Jones is certainly a little concerning. Mike McDonald just talked to us reporters over Zoom and didn't have much the injury, but long and short of it, I think this is an excellent Seahawks team, as good as we've seen since 2020, which is the last time they started 6-2. This is a really good team. They've got a lot of potential, and I think that Sam Darnold playing the way that he is, offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, is really intriguing. I think he was an excellent pickup, getting him from New Orleans last year. I think that this team is really firing on all cylinders, and it all starts at the top with Mike McDonald. He's really put a good team together here.
Well, Andrew, you talk about the offense, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba has just been absolutely amazing and now being elevated to wide receiver one. Are you concerned about balance on the offense, given the running game, and then Cooper Kupp is the second best receiver? He's not the player that he used to be. Are you concerned about the balance on the offense?
Absolutely, and I think that's the biggest question is that, okay, this is all well and good in the regular season, but will you be able to pass the ball like this in January, especially as cliche as it gets? But let's say the Seahawks are heading back east for some of those matchups or to the NFC North. Where you might be playing a game in Green Bay in January. Can you pass the ball 40 times a game and trust that Sam Darnold's going to get the job done? I don't know if you can. So I think that is certainly a concern. Now, that being said, you take it for what it's worth. The offensive line has been drastically better than a year ago. And part of that is due to Sam Darnold, I think, being, you know, no disrespect to Geno Smith, I think he's been a better quarterback than Geno Smith. In terms of the offensive line play for the Seahawks, they've done a much better job of keeping him upright. And in terms of just, you know, being able to create holes, being able to create time and space, the run game itself, though, that certainly is a question. Kenneth Walker III, Zach Charbonnet, those guys haven't quite been able to get it done. The offensive line has been better, but not quite to the level that the Seahawks would want. So, yeah, I think that in terms of the biggest question marks, it's can they finally be able to firmly establish a run game, and can a number two option arise? Because as much as Cooper Kupp is the bigger name, Torrey Horton has flashed at times. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe Jake Bobo returning from injury a few weeks back and looking more and more like himself each week. Maybe he's the guy. But to your point, yeah, there needs to be a number two option, and it needs to be somebody who can kind of assert themselves rather than continuing to spread the ball around to 5, 6, 7 different guys, which has worked to this juncture, but you would like for a true number two option to emerge.
Andrew Destin is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Covers all things Washington sports for the Associated Press. Well, Andrew, we know the trade deadline is tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. Do you see the Seahawks doing anything? They're not going to stand pat, right?
I can't imagine they stand pat. If there's a couple of things to keep tabs on, it's the following. It's, will they move Reek Woolen, the cornerback who is in his contract year, is a former Pro Bowl guy but has kind of had a down season? Is he somebody that they move because they don't see themselves extending him? Or is Reek Woolen a guy that they look at and say, well, we will extend him and we won't trade him? He's somebody who could be on the move. On the side, I would say that they might be looking for some linebacker help. This injury to Ernest Jones IV looks like it could be fairly serious, and they like what they have with Drake Thomas and Ty Okada to be able to fill the gap if need be for the time being, but Ernest Jones has been having a career year. You don't just replace that guy internally. You might need some help. So are they going to theoretically be able to trade for somebody as good next by tomorrow? Probably not, but you have to believe they'll get some reinforcement. So I would say linebacker, wide receiver, maybe even, maybe some offensive line help to shore up the depth there. It's not going to be any gigantic splash moves unless they decide, hey, we're not going to be able to keep Woolen. let's try and get some value for him. Let's move him now versus letting him walk in free agency and get nothing for him. So I'd say those are some things to keep tabs on. And linebacker is definitely something that, given yesterday's game, that has suddenly become a pressing need.
Well, Andrew, we know that that front line on the Seahawks defense has just been performing like one of the best, if not the best, in the entire NFL this season, stopping the rush. Are there no concerns at the cornerback position? I know you talk about Reek Woolen. What has happened to him over the past couple of years?
It's tough to say. You know, first off, because this is my first year covering the team full time. Previously, I was located in Pittsburgh for 3 years. But from what I can gather here and from what I've observed with Woolen, it seems it's just like inconsistency. That's the best way to put it. It's that lack of attention to detail, lack of ability to stay locked in on every single play the way that you need to. One of my fellow beat reporters here in Seattle kind of described it as the mentality a cornerback needs to have is expecting that the ball is going to be thrown to them every single time. And I don't know for certain if Reek Woolen has that mindset. There are certainly times where he takes plays off, loses interest, loses focus, all those sorts of things. He's guilty of it as much as anybody in life is guilty of daydreaming and things like that. But his athleticism, his ability, it's incredible. It's just not quite there at the level that the Seahawks need it to be.
Well, as we head over to the deadline, it looks like Seattle is pretty much, I don't want to say set, to go ahead and make it into the postseason. We got the Rams in the division at 6-2. San Francisco is 6-3, despite not having Purdy and being busted up all year. How do you see things kind of filling out? Like, Seattle's not going to fall off, right? They'll make it to the postseason.
Yeah, I think they'll make it to the postseason, especially because I'm writing about this now, but you look at who they're playing the next 5 weeks. Four of those teams are below 500, including one of them in the Tennessee Titans, who we know how bad they've been this season. Arizona Cardinals have had their struggles. They're going to make the postseason. The question is just whether or not they can win the NFC West. And I think a big matchup to circle on the calendars is just a couple weeks from now when they travel down to L.A. to play the Rams. That's going to be a huge game with the Rams also being 6-2. So this is a postseason team. I think they will be markedly better in terms of the win-loss record than last year when they finished 10-7. I think they get to 12-5, which is pretty darn impressive. But, you know, sitting here at 6-2, there are some games you look at on the calendar and say, okay, can they beat the Rams? Can they beat them twice? Do they split? How about when they travel to play the Niners again? Do they lose that matchup again? These divisional games, we know how important they are. And I think that those two teams, the Niners and the Rams, they do kind of pose some trouble. They are bad matchups for the Seahawks, so kind of curious to see how those kind of matchups. There's three more of those games, and if you include the Cardinals game coming up this weekend, four of their six NFC West games are still to take place the back half of the season. So a lot to be determined in the division, but this is a postseason team. I can say that pretty confidently.
Andrew Destin here with us from the Associated Press. Knowing that Sam Darnold is the guy last night, the four touchdowns, I don't think anybody could have asked for anything else than what he's been able to do. Do you think he's going to be at the end of the season in the MVP conversation again?
I think so, which only further validates that, listen, no disrespect to the Minnesota Vikings, but it only further validates that, yeah, this is a guy who last year was not a one-off. It was not a fluke. It's somebody who, I know we've written about this at the AP a few times, like think ahead of the Buccaneers matchup, one of the, you know, fine games of the season where some offenses were really showing out. Sometimes quarterbacks just need more time. Maybe Sam Darnold wasn't in the right spot with the Jets and the Panthers. Maybe that's really obvious now in hindsight, but with the way the Jets are playing this year. But maybe he deserved to be a top five pick. Maybe he really was that good in college and just needed some time to adjust to the league. I remember I had a good conversation with Drew Locke about this about a couple months ago, asking him about how important is it to get second chances? Like, maybe your first spot isn't the perfect fit. And he was like, yeah, quarterback, it's different from other positions. You really do need time. And the jump from college to pro at that position, the jump from college to pro for anybody is incredible. But, you know, I think it's fairly, you know, easy to say that adjusting from college to pro as a quarterback versus an offensive back versus an offensive lineman, those are big, big differences. The mastery of the playbook, the speed of the game, the availability of receivers, how much separation they can create, that is all markedly different. So long and short of it, Sam Darnold's playing really well. I don't think it's a fluke. I think he'll be in the MVP conversation at the end of the year for a really good Seahawks team.
Wow. Well, Andrew, final question for you. All things considered, what do you think is the ceiling for the Seahawks team this year? What do you think is the most likely outcome?
Yeah, I would say most likely is they win a playoff game. I think that's most likely. Anything beyond that is gravy. I'm not looking at this team as a true Super Bowl contender just because of how tight it is in a really good NFC West and some of those other teams in the NFC that really are the bellwether franchises. I think the Seahawks are maybe a year away from being spectacular. That being said, Jackson Smith and Jigba is playing at an elite level. The defense, when healthy, can be the best in the league, if not one of the top three, top five. I don't know, man. I think they can get to the NFC Championship game. And once you're there, you know, throw the record books out the room, right? Like, anything's possible. So I would say that a good expectation, a good ceiling for this team is the NFC Championship game. A realistic one would be that, you know, they get in the playoffs, they win a game.
Okay.
And that's, we see where it goes from there.
Now, do the fans share that sentiment, or are they kind of head over heels right now with excitement?
I think head over heels, but not to speak for the Seattleites on their behalf, as somebody who's been here all 6 months, I think that the way that things went with the Seattle Mariners, fans are really optimistic, really excited, but tempering expectations per usual. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Completely understand that. Well, Andrew, we appreciate the time and you lending your expertise. Tell everybody where they could find, follow you, and keep up with all your work.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on X, formerly known as Twitter, at AndrewDestin1. That's the numeral one. And you can read all of my work at AP.org, as well as so many of my colleagues here at the Associated Press. So,
hey,
thanks,
Andrew,
so much for having me. This was such a pleasure.
No problem, man. We'll catch you soon, Andrew, okay?
Sounds like a plan. Looking forward to it.
No doubt about it. That Andrew Destin covers all things Washington sports for the Associated Press. Yeah, I agree with his sentiment. I could see this team, the Seattle Seahawks, going into the postseason, and then I could also see Sam Darnold laying an egg in the biggest opportunity. I think we've seen that one before. That's what he needs to do in order to get over the hump. Let's see if he can do it this year. Didn't happen last year for Minnesota. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back on the other side of the break, well, we got one more game. We have the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to probably go out there and light them up. There is no Kyler Murray. And then we got a guy's dad. You never want a guy's dad kind of taking a dump on the team. We got the Bengals fighting each other. And we have Marvin Harrison Sr. with some not nice words about his son's team. Well, we'll get into that on the other side of the break. Get you all set for Monday Night Football. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now, it's time for a news flash. Here he is, Rich Ackerman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Andrew Destin for joining us from the Associated Press. Came through to have a chat with us about the Seattle Seahawks, who look like they are on their way to the postseason. We just have to see what they do when they get there. If you missed that conversation with Andrew, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Speaking of football, man, we got one more game to close out this week. In about 30 minutes or so, we're going to have the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if Kyler Murray was healthy, and he's out again with a foot injury. We're going to have Jacoby Brissett throwing a rock around for the Arizona Cardinals. If Kyler Murray was healthy, I'd say, oh my God, this is a game that I'd want to see, because it's probably going to be a messy shootout with a crazy ending, and that still might be the case today. The Dallas Cowboys are basically the number one offense in the entire NFL. They're dropping about 31 points a game. And the Arizona Cardinals, they are as mediocre a team could be in the NFL. I mean, year after year, and I'm not a fan of Kyler Murray at quarterback. I think he's too small. I think that he plays kind of off kilter. Every time I watch the Cardinals, it's like watching a guy play in his backyard. And I don't know if that's conducive to winning in the long term. And I think the Cardinals are basically and have been spinning their wheels with him as the starting QB. And this goes back to them saying, is he studying enough? Does he, you know, is he in the playbook? Is he paying more attention to video games? It's just, he plays like he's in a video game. And the Cardinals are just, they're not destined to do anything. And so it is real unfortunate that we won't see him play. Although he's exciting, I don't think it's built for long-term winning. But the Cowboys, they just lost to Denver 44-24. And tonight's game is going to be an interesting one, to say the least. Head coach Jonathan Gannon, one of the more stressed-out head coaches in the entire NFL, he was asked about Kyler Murray and that foot injury, and this is what he had to say.
Everyone's different, you know. Every player, every injury is kind of unique. And he's been pushing, we've been pushing. He is getting better. He's had some more work this last week.
Well, getting better isn't putting him on the field tonight. But he did say, Jonathan Gannon, he says, I'm cool. Jacoby Brissett is an old guy. He knows how to play. So at least we got a guy out there who can not turn the ball over a million times.
He's got really good command. Understands what we're trying to get done with each play, and he's a vet that it's he doesn't really get fooled a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't get fooled. Maybe he can get the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. This man is in his second year. Big expectations for him coming out of Ohio State. He only and I get it. Is Kyler Murray's been hurt, and now you got Brissett in there. Marvin Harrison Jr. only has 396 yards receiving on the season to go along with two touchdowns. When he came out of Ohio State, there was a full expectation that he would just, man, he'd automatically be one of the best wide receivers just out of the gate in the NFL flat period, and that hasn't happened. And I think one of the reasons is, well, he's playing with Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray likes to run around like a chicken with his head cut off before he decides what he wants to do. And so in absolutely hilarious fashion, you know, we talked about how Chase Brown of the Bengals decided to kill his own team's defense. All we needed to do was get a stop. Marvin Harrison Sr., Colts legend, Hall of Fame this, Hall of Fame that, he took a dump on the Cardinals offense. And if I'm Kyler Murray, I'm looking around going, this guy's talking about me. Listen to what Marvin Harrison said to ESPN. It sucks when your dad says this about your own team. He says, quote, it's very hard for me to watch the Cardinals offense. He can't relate to what they're doing on the football field. He says, I just can't relate to watching that offense, that style of offense. Basically, I can't relate to what goes on there. Bacha, is this man, he's killing Kyler Murray. He killed his son's quarterback.
It's more than just the quarterback at that point. It's the whole team. It's the coordinator, the head coach, the run game coordinator, pass game coordinator. It's everyone, because the quarterback, you know, calls the plays, executes the plays, but there's also a collaborative effort with everyone else on the team. So for him to say a shot where it's like, I don't know what I'm looking at, that is an indicator on how much he hates the franchise itself.
Well, yeah, of course, but here's what it boils down to. This is, you can look at Jonathan Gannon, and now we understand why he's so damn miserable every single week. I think more of the overall point, you can look at the entire team, and of course he's dumping on the squad. Kyler Murray is in the room with Marvin Harrison, okay? Kyler Murray is the guy who executes the offense. And if you are the team, and this is why I say it's more of an indicator on Kyler Murray and more than anybody else, that's the guy who they hitch their wagon to. Like, there is no other way to play because Kyler Murray can't even see over the offensive line. And so the Cardinals are pretty much stuck with him and his style of play until they get him the hell up on out of there. And so that's why I think it's more of an indicator. And so, yeah, everybody can be in their feelings today about Marvin Harrison kind of trashing his organization. I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably just like, oh, come on, Dad. Like, why are you doing this now? Why are we doing this? And so this story came out on ESPN today. Not a shock that it released right prior to the game. But if I'm Kyler Murray, I'm going, geez. Like, I got a broken foot. Now I got to deal with this guy's dad. I mean, look, Marvin Harrison, not one for saying many words, okay? Even when he played, the guy never uttered a word. He just went out there and caught touchdowns from Peyton Manning, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. We don't get this a lot. We've heard a long time about Deion Sanders, right, and Shador not being selected and not being taken. And I think one of the reasons why is because NFL teams and executives and coaches, they didn't want to have to answer questions every week because Deion had an opinion about Shador. It becomes a pain in the behind. It becomes a distraction. It's just, it's not anything that you want to deal with as a head coach. It's a distraction. And so to have Marvin Harrison, who doesn't say anything, come out here and just trash of the Cardinals, it lets you know how bad they are, how mediocre they are. It's kind of sad. I think Kyler Murray is, well, I wouldn't bring this guy in for nothing. God bless him. He played football instead of baseball. He's making all this money. Man, he should be playing shortstop somewhere. Listen to what Marvin Harrison Jr. had to say about playing on Monday Night Football.
I mean, it's another opportunity to go out there and play a game that you love, obviously in front of a much larger audience on a national televised game. But it's definitely just a blessing, honestly, to go out there and play. Something that, like you said, that you grow up watching as a young kid, and now you're the person on the TV, so that's cool.
Yeah, obviously he didn't have to answer questions about his father's comments because they came out after he spoke to the media. One thing that he did have to address is the fact that, well, the Cardinals know how to lose. They have lost 5 one-score games in a row. When the going gets tough, they fold. Now listen to what he had to say about that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's always 1 to 3, 5 plays that, you know, change the outcome of a game, but that's the NFL. All the games are going to be close. We just got to try to find those margins to become victorious more.
Yeah, all the games are not close, okay? Ask the Dallas Cowboys. They got smoked by Denver last week. But I'll tell you this much. Dak Prescott playing in Dallas, he's ready for Monday Night Football. Well, he has, what, a 5-1 record? Listen to this.
Honestly, right now, it's something that, you know, looking forward to being at home this week. Enjoying that atmosphere, right? Keeping it electric, keeping all the good stats and everything you're talking about going and rolling.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, when it comes to Monday Night Football, he gets rolling. I'm expecting the Dallas Cowboys to walk away with a victory. If they don't win at home, I know last week, you know, Jerry Jones, he's been kind of wishy-washy when he speaks, when he doesn't speak. If they lose tonight, Jerry Jones is going to have a fit. This Dallas Cowboys team this season, they're not going anywhere, but at least they're better than the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are on a trip straight to hell, and they're going to have to eventually, I believe, figure out their quarterback situation with Kyler Murray. So this has the potential to be an interesting game, but the Dallas Cowboys, they should certainly come out on top. They're going to get going in about 20 minutes from now. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. We come back on the other side. There's more NFL. We'll keep you up to date on the Cowboys and Cardinals when they get started. The Dodgers. More baseball news. We got a bunch of guys who opted out. Yeah, more dudes for the Dodgers to add to the team. They're just paying for everybody. We'll talk about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.